Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please have your seats. Amen. Are you blessed already?
Yes, sir.
We can close and go home now. God has done us good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I just have a quick word to share with us, and I believe that it will bless you. Hallelujah. How many of us were around last week, Wednesday? How was the service? How was it? How many of us have gone back to listen again? Amen. So I just want to pick up from there, from where Pastor stopped, and then we'll just run with the help of the Holy Spirit. So last week, Pastor said a lot of powerful things, but he began by talking about three kind of lives. How many of us remember? He said there is the dead life, there is the anointed life, and then there is the resurrected life. And that was where we dwelt on, and the power of God, the presence of God was really strong. So I just want to begin from there. But before then, let's read a scripture together. First Chronicles chapter 12. It's a popular scripture. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Amen. Are we there? Okay, so the Bible says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Amen. This evening, I want to speak to us briefly on what I have called understanding oneness, and we'll see it in different sides. But here, the Bible says the sons of Issachar, they understood the times, but it didn't stop there. It says they knew what Israel ought to do. And for every one of us in this room, there are times that we're living in. In the spirit, there is a certain time. Is that correct? There's a certain time, and the demand is the same. Whenever it is time for something in the dispensation of God, there are certain things that we ought to do. Amen.
Amen.
And one of those things that we ought to do is what I'm sharing with us. We ought to understand oneness, not just at the level of oneness with one another. We would come to that. But oneness, first of all, in how you operate as a person or as a human being. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. God was introducing himself. And the first thing he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then he begins to tell you, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength." Amen. This is so important because, of course, you know we're living in the last days. The spirit of the age, one of the major spirits of the age is the spirit of independence or the spirit of options. Amen. And I'm trusting God that at the end of this conversation, one of the things that will dawn on your heart again is that you don't have options. Amen. At different levels. As a house, for example, the easiest way to be cut off is to keep flowing as an individual. After a while, you will just be cut off. You know, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat dies. So Pastor was talking to us about the resurrection life. One of the workings, one of the ways that life will walk in you is that it will lead you in this direction. You would understand oneness. You would be somebody that appreciates oneness. You won't just be everywhere. Hallelujah. You won't be everywhere. The things that you are seeking, you won't seek them everywhere. Oneness is so powerful. For example, do you know that, how many of you love Pastor? Amen. Pastor loves himself. Hallelujah. Do you know that this thing is so serious? You know, sometimes some people try to casualize, say, if anything happens to Pastor, there are many pastors in town. But do you know that it might be true in principle, but in reality, it's not always like that. Hallelujah. I'm talking to us tonight about understanding oneness, and then we'll see a couple of things. So Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, the Lord your God is one. Very powerful. Do you know that what we call integrity many times, and this would be a good place to begin. Integrity, basically, the root word for integrity is oneness. It means that you are the same. You are not, there's no discrepancy. Hallelujah. It's from a word called integer, whole. It's a whole thing, and that's what we call integrity. One of the reasons God told us not to worry is that every time we worry, God sees a divided person. He doesn't see somebody that is whole. In fact, the root word for worry is to divide into parts. So you are saying one thing, your heart is saying another thing, your mind is saying another thing, and you are not one. And there is a dimension of power that we will not flow in. Tonight we are going to deal with, you will see why individualism is not the best. Ultimately, you are one person, but you are one person in God. Outside God, you are nothing. And I'm trying to get us this evening to appreciate just living in God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thinking in God. Anybody thinking outside God is already a dead man. Is already a dead man walking. So Jesus said, when a corn of wheat stands alone, that means that there is something about individualism that is anti-God. Hallelujah. And that's what the world is pushing. That's why we must know what you are doing. One of the things I'm going to tell you tonight is to carry all your eggs and put it in one basket. In the world, one of the ways you know a wise person is by how much they diversify. People will tell you, don't put your eggs in one basket. You are like a foolish person. But for us, it's opposite. One of the reasons God will clap for you is that you have put all your eggs in one basket. So we must understand oneness. Hallelujah. Yes. So God is one. There is no identity crisis. There are still some of us that are getting validation from different places. You need to settle all of that. You can't get validation from everywhere. Oneness. Your life has a source. Do you know the meaning of source? It means that that is the only place that thing can come from. Every other place you think is coming from is counterfeit. And ultimately, you would just, as Pastor was saying, you realize that what you have is actually a toy gun. And by then, it might be too late. So God wants us to understand oneness. And the first place that we want to begin from is that God is one. Hallelujah. God is one. And I want to say to us, you also trust God to be one and begin to operate from there. You know, Pastor said to me one time, he said, I'm not sure he can remember. He said to me, he said, I have collected my mind from where it was, the different places where it was. And it was very, and I began to think about it. And it was very, very instructive. There are many of us here, your mind is still in different places. Tonight you would collect it back. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because all those places where it is, you are not one. And that is the basis of our operation. God is one. There is no confusion. There is no division. If you go to God the Father, if you go to God the Son, if you go to God the Holy Spirit, that's why the Trinity, the Bible says it is a mystery. It is one of the most beautiful realities ever. And it's something that we will keep looking into. Hallelujah. So that's the first level of oneness that I want to bring to us as a base of operation. Coming to agreement. These are the implications of the resurrected life. The next thing that I want to say to us, let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Remember, they understood the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. We have to understand oneness. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11. The DNA, the way the life of God works, there is practically no room for independence. You are not really anything by yourself. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So look at it. It says, nevertheless, so Paul was talking about the man was not made for the woman was made for the man, and all of that. But he got to verse 11, and then he says, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man. Where? In the Lord. In the Lord. The enemy is trying to get you out, but you have to labor to stay in. He's trying to make you think outside. You know, we talk about thinking outside the box. Amen. And it's a good thing. You get awards for all of that. But if you ever go outside God at the slightest possible way, it will lead to a calamity. Hallelujah. In the course of this conversation, we are going to see, do you know that what we call heresy is an opinion or a belief that you've not, is that is standing alone. You've refused to subject it to the collective. You say, I would, it's my own belief, till you are out of line completely. One man of God was sharing today how he used to be heretic. And you just sit, and when you see some heretic people, you are wondering, how did this happen? He said that he used to be a pastor, but he says he used to be very lax on premarital sex. And he said one time he got into this heresy, and he said that if a man and woman, even if they are married, he says if they've not agreed that they love themselves, they are not married. And when they are dating, that they have to agree that they love themselves. And of course, the result was all kinds of sampling, and that's how people get into all those things. I'm just trying to show you that this individualism you are pushing, it will destroy you. Hallelujah. We must understand oneness. Oneness with God. Oneness with one another. Let God always see you joined. Hallelujah. When you appear in the Spirit, let God see you joined. And this is why a lot of people hype themselves unnecessarily, because they believe, you remember, Pastor always tells us, you just believe that you are something. Hallelujah. In a house like this, for example, the collective is eternally greater than one person. And this thing I'm saying is a spirit, and I'm hoping that it will come on you and begin to walk in great. It's not words, but it's a spirit that will power your life, and you will see the glory of God. The will of God will be able to prosper in your hand. You know, Pastor gave an analogy last week that blessed me so much, and I've been thinking about it. He was using me and Pastor Lalu as an example, and then he was talking about what it means to be an assistant. And he says an assistant is not that the lead person has strength or inadequacies. He says the lead pastor has strengths, he has weaknesses, and then he has other strengths that are outside him. Now, if you don't understand oneness, that scenario will just exist in theory, and there will be all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. This revival that we're talking about, these are some of the things that will power it. Where do you know that you can? We're talking about resurrection life last week. Do you know literally God can bring you to a point where you have all your desire is that the will of God is done, and it doesn't matter who it gets done through. Hallelujah. All this one that people are still trying to shine, show themselves, they don't really understand this thing fully. I just pray I'm trying to communicate the way it is in my heart. But we must understand oneness. We must appreciate oneness. As you get deeper into this thing, you would find out that you really don't have opinions like that. But today Christians have opinions, strong opinions. Hallelujah. And they say, I'm a human being, I have a brain. But we will come to that later. We're not, God is not against thinking, but we think we're in God. We think in God. Let's quickly go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Is this making any sense to us?
Yes, sir.
We have to understand oneness. 21, verse 21. Okay, let's start from verse 20. Yes. Look at this. It says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. If you look at it in KJV, it says what is falsely called science. You know, it is science that is making people say there's no God. But that's a disorder. God is not against science, but when you go outside, then you become Satan, which is opponent, and then you begin to contradict. So the Bible says, keep what was committed to your trust, avoid profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. When we don't understand oneness, there will be a lot of unnecessary oppositions, and the will of God will not prosper the way that it should. Our lives are connected in a very, very deep way. I'm not sure we can really fully understand it on this side of eternity, but we can keep dealing with this spirit of individuality and all of that, and get into this thing so that God will be glorified. So God wants us to put our eggs in one basket. The scripture that Pastor has used many times, and I pray that spirit will enter you again, as I said earlier, John chapter 17. Do you know this was the summary of Jesus' prayer? John 17, let's see verse 10. John 17, let's go to verse 9. 8. Okay, for I've given unto them the words which... Please, let's go back to New King James. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Could you see all this? Connections. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be what?
One.
As we are. We have to understand oneness. I began by talking to us about us as a tool of operation, where we, as a base, where we do life from. One of the ways Pastor calls it, living from your core, living from your within. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When crisis hits, there are certain things that crisis must not be able to touch. If not, you are finished. That if your core is tampered with, that's why I want to encourage you, whenever you are everywhere emotionally, ensure that you are not like that for long. The enemy would come. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you confess, the enemy would come. Do you know one of the reasons we pray many times is to get to this point of oneness. Hallelujah. And then you begin to flow from there. Apostle Arume, in his humorous way, he calls it, he says many people have prayer points, but he says there is prayer point and there is the point of prayer. Amen. And what he was just trying to say was, there is a point where you can now begin to pray from. Hallelujah. That's when you gather yourself. You know, sometimes when you are praying in the Spirit, the first 30 minutes sometimes is just to gather yourself together. Depending on where you are coming from, depending on how your day went, who bashed you, whether you have fuel or not, fuel is 500 plus, all those things. I just hope as I'm talking now, nobody is thinking about fuel. You are not one. And you will not be able to operate very well. Hallelujah. So that one is basic. The Lord God is one. I believe that there is a very important reason why God is introduced to us that way. Many people don't appreciate oneness the way that they should appreciate it. And that is the kind of God that I want to serve. That is the kind of God that I want to walk with. I don't want to serve a God that doesn't seem to know what he's doing. How many of you want to serve that kind of God? A God that always appears shocked. Amen. That's not the picture when we think of God. The Lord God is one. He's on top of everything. There is no identity crisis. It's nothing. So that's why you must ensure that there is nothing giving you a sense of identity outside God. There is always a day of reckoning. You see, the devil can touch many things, but there is a place where you are that he can't touch. So if your identity is not where it should be, when it is tampered with, there will be a lot of confusion. So we have to understand oneness. And these are some of the implications of a resurrected life. I will come back to some of these thoughts that I've been trying to share. But let me quickly emphasize the next point, because our time is running very, very fast. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Amen.
Amen.
Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Amen. The Colossian church was a very interesting church. And if you go and study, you know, all those churches that Paul wrote to, they had their different challenges. They had their different experiences. Their context was not all the same. One of the challenges in the Colossian church was that people had come and people were just trying to take away the exclusivity of following Christ. People were... So the focus wasn't singular anymore. People were now teaching that whatever you can get in Christ, you can get it from other places also. Hallelujah. Yeah. They call it, in theology, they call it syncretism, when you try to pluralize things. When what should be, for example, Jesus says, I'm the way. But somebody can come now and tell you there are different ways. Jesus is not the only way. And then you go with that till you find yourself in hell, God forbid. Hallelujah. Do you understand this? So Paul was saying, let nobody cheat you. Let nobody spoil you. One translation says, let nobody capture you. Let nobody take you away. Through what? Philosophy and empty deceit. Can we see it in the NLT translation? I think NLT says, high-sounding nonsense. Hallelujah. High-sounding nonsense. If you get the spirit of this thing I'm sharing, how many of you remember BCLF on Saturday? I think after Pastor Darius chat, and then Pizak came up, and he started singing, there is one spirit, one faith. That spirit must enter you. There is one spirit. There is one faith. This spirit, again, is what is responsible. People say, my career life, my this. And they're just misbehaving. There's no manifestation anywhere. Hallelujah. The life is one, and then he has different expressions. So make sure you are not confusing individuality and expression. They are not the same thing. When we're talking oneness, we're saying that what is powering all of us is the same thing. The source is the same. If you take that life and begin to, if you take it to the lab and you begin to examine it, the content is the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if it is individualism, we are not sure. At some point, you will be cut off. You know, there are people that just take pride. The joy of their soul is that everybody is going like this and they are going like this. But that is a major, major accident in the soul. The Bible says you shall not follow after a multitude to do evil. But if it is not evil, why are you not in line? You see that it's not, and this thing has caused a lot of problems, and people are not enjoying their Christianity. So he says, don't allow anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. Oneness. There are things that you can only get from God. You can't get it from any other place. And we have to settle this. The source is the same. Hallelujah. And as we begin to advance in the purposes and the plan of God, we have to take this thing seriously. Oneness. Till you are lost, after a while, it's just Christ or Jesus that people will see. Every gap between your person and God's person, the enemy can always fill it for you. So we must live in a life in a way where we're constantly bridging that gap. You know, when we're growing up as Christians, some people come out to lead prayer points. And what is actually an indictment, they are talking about it as a blessing. You know that prayer, that scripture in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 55. It says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. And some people are quoting it with joy. But if you are still quoting that scripture with joy after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, it's not a good thing. Because if you go to Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you. One translation says, think the way Jesus thinks or thought. Hallelujah. There is no gap. Oneness. The Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one with the Lord in the Spirit. There is something about oneness at different levels. First, ensure that you are always together as a person. Grace can do that work in your heart. Grace can do that work in your heart. And then you begin to now appreciate the things that God, this oneness that I'm trying to talk to us about, it will determine your allocation. It will determine the things that come to you. The resources of God, this is one of the wings that they flow on. If you read Psalm 133, which is a popular scripture in this house, there's a part in that passage, it says, God commanded the blessing. So there is a place called there. What does it mean there? It means that this place is not everywhere. So if you commonize it and you say it's everywhere, the anointing is everywhere, you might just have a different experience. This is the spirit that God wants us to carry. If we're going to be all that God wants us to be, these are some of the spirits that you should have. Don't commonize what you should commonize. Some things are not everywhere. When God raises up people for you, guard them. One of the reasons why we must pray for Pisa constantly is that if anything happens to him, God forbid, there is no guarantee that there will be another Pisa. It might sound like flattery, but I pray that God will open your eyes. If we understand this spirit also, as Apostle Eric was preaching on Sunday, it will also help us to maximize opportunities. Do you know there are opportunities that only come to you once? Amen.
Amen.
And another one may never come. For example, the day you gave your life to Jesus, there were other people now. But for whatever reason, they didn't give their life to Jesus. Some of them are still like that years after. Some have even died. Nobody remembers them. So there are a lot of things we casualize because we don't carry this spirit as we should. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some people, time, and it's this thing, it manifests in every area. Some people, I believe in that God is a God of restoration. But do you know that if you don't go to school sometimes when you are meant to go, you might never go. Hallelujah. Because there's a time when it's easier to read and the thing we enter. Not when you are 45. Hallelujah. It might sound like somebody might say this is not grace preaching and all of that, but this is the reality. Jesus said, narrow is the way. Hallelujah. Let's read that scripture. Our timer has gone off. But hope we're making some sense out of this. We have to understand oneness. Look for join yourself to what you should join yourself to. Don't say I'm alone. I'm different. No. Remember, God always looks at you when you are joined. Some people, God cannot even see them. What is the meaning of if except a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone? It means that in that alone state, it is useless. Hallelujah. And in the spirit, it is anti-God. It is spoiling things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to understand oneness. Look at it here. It says, because narrow is the gate and difficult. But this word difficult doesn't mean difficult. It doesn't really mean difficult as in hard. It means straight. Hallelujah. It's not like difficult that nobody can go in the way. Because I see a lot of Christians behaving today as if they have, if this Christianity doesn't work, I will go back to other things. Remember, Jesus preached one time, people left him. And I love that scripture so much. And Pastor has used it severally. John chapter 6, I believe. And he turned to Peter. He says, will you also go? And I like Peter's answer. I'm paraphrasing. He says, where shall we go? He said, where do I, if it was me, I'd say, where do I know I'm going to? Hallelujah. He says, you have the words, only you, amen, of eternal life. But you know, if you have options, if you believe there's something good in other places, it will be very quick for you to turn your back away on God till you meet a dead end. I'm telling you that we don't have options. Put all your eggs in one basket. Pastor ended the message, one of the rounding thoughts, one of the closing thoughts of last week. He says, take a risk and dive in. Hallelujah. Take a what?
A risk
and dive in. That's another way of saying, put all your eggs in one basket. It's a spirit. It's an attitude. It's something, it's a heart posture that you must have. And I've not seen anybody that has followed Jesus this way that doesn't have a life that is significant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You see, maybe because some of us still think we're young, but as you get older, some things begin to matter to you, even in the world. And one of the things that troubles human beings, psychologists call it the factors that determine fulfillment. One of the things that affects people is this significance thing, that is meaning. What kind of life have I lived? Amen.
Amen.
So we're not just talking about wealth and prosperity, which is sure, but we're talking about a life of meaning, a life of significance. There is nobody that follows Jesus this way that will not have a significant life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Pastor has always told us. You see, one of the reasons I love Pastor Zach and one of the reasons I follow him is that Pastor doesn't lie. Hallelujah. If somebody tells me, what do you love about this man? It's one of my top three qualities. So I'm saying it now. I'm not saying it when, thank God he's here in the service. And I'm saying it. And that's one of the things that I love about him. He doesn't lie. He will tell you as it is. And he has told us in this house before that everybody will not be a billionaire. Amen. Has he not told you? Has he not told you? Yes. Amen. He didn't say you, but everybody will not be a billionaire. That's the reality. Amen. But everybody would have a life that counts. And that's the kingdom. And that's the apostolic order. So let us go for significance. Go for significance. Go for impact. Those are the things that I think about now. Impact. Legacy. Legacy is not just when you're about to die. It is everything you have done up to that point. Amen. Amen. You can't live a useless life and then on your deathbed you are talking about which of God, please live here. There's no legacy. Amen. It is everything you have done, at least from when you met the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Till the point. Do you understand now? So it's not just that I've lived a useless life and then I'm now talking about legacy and you are talking about the thief on the cross that went to paradise. I don't want to be like that. What did you do all your life? Amen. Why is it at the point of death that you now want to meet? Do you know that there is nobody that has any regret? Do you know that when you meet Jesus, there's only one regret you will have? Should I tell you the regret? Why you did not serve him? Why you didn't meet him earlier? So if you met him at 6, you will be like, why didn't I meet him at 4? If you met him at 2, you'll be like, why didn't I meet him in the womb? Do you understand? That's the only regret you will have. So let's go for it. Legacy, oneness. Let us collect our mind from everywhere. Collect your heart from everywhere it is and let us fix it on this thing and let's do great things for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me give you one or two more scriptures. Okay, we have 20 minutes. In Isaiah 33, verse 6, the Bible says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Amen.
Amen.
Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of the time, of your times. So it means that one of the recurrent issues that we are going to face in our times is what? Instability. Many people will not be stable. Even in a revival doesn't guarantee that you will be stable. Hallelujah. If you haven't dealt with all this, some of these issues, you will be struggling to shine. Amen.
Amen.
And you just spoil a lot of things. You know, Pastor usually says that there are some things you can't really say if you are not living that way. If you try to say it, it will be like a lie. God is my witness. I don't know how God has helped me, but I don't have any desire to, I don't even know what they're calling, shining. I don't know. When I see people, you know, the issues that some people have, that maybe they didn't preach, all those kind of things. I don't have relationship with all those things. God is my witness. If I don't hold this mic for a year, I'm fine. I won't feel like pastor doesn't know that I don't have those inhibitions. And I'm grateful to God. Hallelujah. Because what even goes on, let's even take this work that we're doing. All this we're doing is just about maybe 10%. The real work is behind the scenes. When two pastors are fighting, they hardly fight in public. But what is happening there will always affect to the point where they are now setting leg for themselves. And not, you know, it's happening in some places. Hallelujah. But when you are one, you don't have all those things. The collective is always greater than the individual. And God will bless you as you commit to the collective. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will find yourself in that, the context, your God self that God wants to express as you commit to the collective. You may not understand so much, just keep coming. Ensure that your heart is pure. You will find out that the fruit, it will reflect in your life. Don't allow the enemy divorce you from what you should be joined to. Hallelujah. This is why he always goes after oneness. You know, the challenge in marriage, for example, is husband and wife becoming one in every sense. The enemy will fight that thing. Because Jesus said, if two of you shall agree as touching anything. I feel that we're yet to see the potential. There's still a lot of dormant potential in agreement that we're yet to see. And God is saying to us this evening, come into agreement. Come into harmony. Amen. Don't be divided. Jesus said, a house divided against itself, it shall not stand. Praise God.
Amen.
Oneness is powerful. So you read the epistles, you keep reading, same mind, one mind. It's not that they don't have another thing to write, but that is how this life, this Zoe that we say that we have received, that is the major content. That is when it is most, potent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let's keep connecting. That is the spirit that will achieve great things, even as we keep on advancing. Agreement is so powerful. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. You know it, but let's read it. It has been a while you read Amos. So let's read it. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Hallelujah. Has it not been a while? When last did you read Amos? So the Bible says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Hallelujah. Agreement is powerful. Praise the Lord. And then finally, you know, I told you one time, I said, be an on this oneness matter. Of course, it's broad. We can't exhaust it. But I believe I've touched on the important things. I'm just interested in that spirit coming on you, and then you begin to see the wonders of God. Let's read James chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This thing, when it walks in your heart, you will be an agreeable person. The Bible begins to tell us about two kinds of wisdom in this chapter. Let's back up a bit. Let's go to verse 14. Okay, it says, okay, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So you see what I was trying to say to us. There is a kind of wisdom that only has one source. If you want God's wisdom, what is truly wisdom, it can only come. You can get another kind, but it tells you it is earthly, sensual, demonic. Verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, see, willing to yield. Amen. Is that not agreement?
Yes, sir.
You can't be a Christian that hypes his or her opinion and succeed in this life that we're saying. It is that opinion that will take you out. After a while, you won't even know where you are. Do you understand? Independent opinions will take you to a place that you don't know. You know, you say, if they carry me, go where I don't know. If you don't deal with independent opinions, it will take you to a place where you don't know. It says, it is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Do you know the problem sometimes in the house of God when one person's opinion is not taken? Trouble everywhere. Or some people just give you silent treatment and all of that. But if you understand this oneness that we're saying, if your opinion is not taken, the important thing is that we are moving forward. Is that not more important than your opinion? Another time, if your opinion will make us move forward, we would take it. But by the time you go 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the issue is that they did not take your opinion, you know, you're already going out. Hallelujah. It says, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Amen.
Amen.
This is how God wants us to be. So as we keep looking at the resurrected life and trust God to keep living it out, this is one of the things there for you that I want us to begin to explore. Understand oneness at the different levels that I've tried to touch on. And then hopefully we'll pick this up some other time. Hope this has been helpful.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.